The children were dismissed for Sunday school as we were coming up the aisle. So if there's any children hiding in the pews that want to go to Sunday school, they can just head on over. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy of the Holy One, and the Spirit of the living God be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the resplendent light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son and illumine the world with your image through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from 2 Kings. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elijah, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 50 responsively. The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken, calling the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Our
God will come and will not keep silence, with a consuming flame before and round about a raging storm.
God,
gather before me my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 2 Corinthians. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to
God. Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them not to tell anyone about what they had seen, until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. I really wonder about this story. It seems odd to me, right in the middle of Jesus' teaching and healing ministry, the last couple Sundays we've had these great stories of Jesus' healings, and now, all of a sudden, he's up on this mountain with his clothes dazzling white, and he's talking with these two people out of the pages of history. And the disciples, Peter and James and John, are awestruck and terrified. And then, just as suddenly as it started, it's all over. What's it all about? And why do we hear this story as we're beginning our Lenten journey? It seems to me, and I wasn't asked, but I think I would have put the celebration of the baptism of Jesus on this Sunday before we start Lent. Because that story, Jesus is baptized and then goes immediately into the wilderness for 40 days. Now, wouldn't that make sense that we'd have that gospel reading as we start our Lenten journey of 40 days to Easter time? That would be a good start of Lent gospel. I get together with a number of pastors every week on Wednesdays, and on Wednesday morning before the worship service, a number of us gather to look at the text for the coming Sunday and to talk about preaching paths and where someone might be going. And last Wednesday, I was wondering about why this text on this Sunday, and one of the other pastors said, "I love this text because you have such a great vantage point. You know, when you stand up on a high mountain, you can look. You can look back, and you can look ahead. We can look back to the mountaintop experience of Moses on Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. And we can look ahead to a future mountain, to a mountaintop named Calvary with the cross of Jesus Christ. And in the middle of those two mountains, we have this mountain of the Transfiguration. Standing here at this point in the Transfiguration, we can look beyond the valley of Lent to Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. Think of the differences between standing on this mountain of the Transfiguration and standing on that mountain of Calvary. Here on this mountain, Jesus' clothes are dazzling white, more than any bleach could make them. On that mountain, Jesus' clothes were gambled away. They tossed dice to see who would get his clothes. On this mountain, Jesus is standing between two great heroes of faith, Moses and Elijah. On that mountain, Jesus is between two common criminals, names we don't even know. On this mountain, Jesus is observed by his three special friends. Those guys were with him all the time, James, John, and Peter. On that mountain, the Gospels tell us that only three women were observing what was happening. Everyone else had deserted him. On this mountain, Jesus is the scene. The whole scene is filled with light, bright, dazzling light. On that mountain, we're told that darkness covered the earth. On this mountain, Jesus was basking in the love of his beloved Father. This is my son, my beloved. On that mountain, Jesus cries out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" On this mountain, we hear God's voice proclaim Jesus as his son. On that mountain, it's the voice of the executioner who proclaims that this man truly was the Son of God. Maybe this is the right time for the reading of the Transfiguration story, looking from this mountaintop through the Valley of Lent to that mountain of the crucifixion. Here we see not only our destination, the ending, but here we can see our journey as well. This event doesn't stand alone. This event invites us into the journey, not only paying attention to Jesus' journey, but also claiming our journey. The text we heard from Paul's letter to the Corinthians talks about light shining out in the darkness. We sang that in our opening song, the light, the brightness. The light shining in our hearts, Jesus Christ transforming us, transfiguring us with the light of God's grace. Certainly that cross is part of our journey, just as it was part of Jesus' journey. But the cross is not the end of the story. It wasn't the end of the story for Jesus, and it's not the end of our story either. Shining with the light of Christ, that's our destination. Whether you are on a mountaintop in your life right now, basking in the light and the glory, whether you are struggling and feel like you're hanging on a cross, whether you are just in the journey, trudging along in the ordinariness of life, your journey is with Jesus. At Jesus' baptism, a voice, God's voice, proclaimed, "You are my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." On this mountain, this transfiguration mountaintop, God speaks again. The same words, but with a slightly different twist. "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." Listen. We're not talking about physical hearing. But we're talking about listen. In Greek, the word for listen is the same word that we use when we talk about obey. Listen. Obey. Not just words, but pay attention. Act on what you hear. Act on what you listen to. When a parent takes their child, their face between their hands, and looks into the eye of that child and says, "Listen to me," they're not talking about a hearing test. They're expecting some kind of response. This is what God says to us. This is my son. Listen to him. Don't just hear, do. Earlier in the baptism that we celebrated with Chloe, we're so reminded of our own baptisms. The word by water and word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. These words contain both promise and privilege, both proclamation and action. The words on when Peter saw Jesus in all of that glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, he wanted to put up a tent. He wanted to stay there. Lord, it's good for us to be here. And then he heard the words of God. This is my son. Listen to him. You can't stay on the mountaintop, Peter. You're going to have to do something. You have to listen. You and I, as baptized Christians, are called to listen to Jesus Christ. We are called to seek out the transfigured Christ in the world. And as we do that, we're called not just to bask in the brightness, but we are called to listen and to respond with the disciples' heart. We are called to listen when our brothers and sisters are suffering, when they are in any need, when they are depressed or addicted or ill. We are called to listen to the cries of the nations of our world and to listen for those pleas for peace. It's hard to listen in a world where the cries of greed and consumption drowned out the pleas for food and shelter and education. It's hard to listen when the very voices that should be helping us in our schools, on the football field, in political debate, and even in the church, when those voices have turned selfish or sick, how do we listen? How do we listen to Jesus as God has called us to do? Well, we listen like Jesus did. He believed in the Father's voice. He lived in that reality. This is my son, my beloved. He never forgot that. He never lived as though he were not God's beloved son. We listen when we live in that reality that we are the beloved children of God. When we listen and live as Jesus did, in that constant awareness, that is, it is God who saves, that we live in God's presence, under his love, in his care. Whether we are shining on a mountaintop or struggling through a valley, we listen and we live, knowing that it is God who saves, knowing that it is God who loves. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Amen.